Hi, I'm Pete McCall. Welcome to episode 104 of All About Fitness. This episode marks a special occasion for All About Fitness. It's one of the first times that a PR person has reached out to me to have their client come on the podcast. Well, that lets me know that people are starting to pay attention to what we're doing here. And what I'm trying to do is bring you good information. I'm trying to bring you sound, scientific, evidence-based information about how fitness can improve your quality of life. There are plenty of podcasts out there that will talk about ways to thrash yourself. And they'll use all kinds of potty language or foul language and talk about this and that. You know, if that's your deal, good. But what I'm trying to have here is an elevated conversation to find out, you know, how we can use fitness to enhance our quality of life. If you want big muscles, if you want six-pack abs, well, I'm sorry. This isn't the place for you. But if you want to learn how fitness can help you get the most out of life, if you want to learn how to do everything you want actively wise and be fit for every year of lifespan, well, All About Fitness is for you. So when I got contacted by this PR agent promoting her client, I was kind of dubious because she was promoting the client as a celebrity personal trainer. And I always think that, you know, when I hear the term celebrity personal trainer, it lets me know that they're just trying to, the individual, the personal trainer, might not feel that confident in their ability. They might not feel that their education or their skill merits much. And so they're trying to kind of dovetail or ride on the back of a celebrity. So I agreed to speak with the individual. And first, from the first couple minutes of the conversation, I was blown away. And that was before, you know, we started recording the podcast. So this episode actually kind of, I kind of pick up the podcast in kind of mid-conversation. And I came away from this conversation blown away. And I really am truly impressed. You know, Don Saladino is a personal trainer who has a studio called Drive 495 in Manhattan. He has an app on the Apple system called Playbook that can help you get fit. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the interview. But what really impressed me about Don was his passion. He takes the right approach to fitness. You know, sometimes I see somebody who claims to be a celebrity trainer. You know, they talk about how hard they make their clients train. Well, sorry, folks. Hard exercise doesn't mean anything to me. Anybody can work hard. That's relatively easy. You know, but what I'm impressed by is a smart approach to fitness. Anytime I talk to a coach or a trainer, whether it's Don, somebody who coaches celebrities, or whether it's a strength coach of professional sports, I want to know how they manage the other aspects of fitness. Not just exercise. Exercise is relatively easy. But what about lifestyle? What kind of lifestyle advice do you give to your clients? What about recovery? What about after exercise? And that's what Don and I talk about today. So in this episode of All About Fitness, you know, yes, Don and I talk a little bit about his celebrity clients. You know, you pick us up mid-conversation where he's talking about how he landed Hugh Jackman as a client. But we go on to talk about the components of fitness that you should be paying attention to with your own program. And if you don't have the time or the ability to meet with someone like Don, well, that's what his Playbook app is for. You can get the same type of expert coaching, you know, to coming into your device or your phone. And one of the amazing things is during the conversation, you'll hear me pause because this really impressed me. And I don't know this individual, but I know of him. He has a very, very strong reputation in our business. But, you know, in his studio, Don has a physical therapist by the name of Charlie Weingraf working with him. And I've read some of Charlie's articles and I've seen him speak at a couple events. So when I found out that Charlie and Don were working together, well, that basically just sealed the deal. I instantly became a Don Saladino fan. So Don, if you're listening to this, bud, when I first got that note from your publicist, I was a little bit, as I mentioned, a little dubious, but you're doing great things. And so it's truly, you know, I say this often, but I really mean it with every guest because it's so much fun to talk shop with somebody who really knows what they're doing and really, and I mean this, Don puts the interests of his clients first. So after a brief word from the sponsor of All About Fitness, it's an honor to sit down with Don Saladino, the owner of Drive 495 Fitness Studio in Manhattan, New York.
Well, how'd you come across, because, you know, we'll get into celebrity training in a second, but how'd you first come across Hugh Jackman? And did you guys have a mutual contact or
bumping
into each other like on the street going for a workout?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was interesting. A buddy of mine was training him, and then my buddy came in one day. He said, "Can you mind if I bring Hugh in?" I said, "Absolutely not." You know, at that point, I'd probably been training already for, you know, I'd say about 7-8 years I've been in the business already. So I was almost kind of hitting that veteran state. But Hugh ran into me, really wanted to work with me. It was right around the time where my friend just found out his wife was having triplets and they had to move out of the area. And then they asked me to just kind of fill in. So it just very naturally and organically just happened. It wasn't something where, you know, the social media wasn't even big then. No one was even really using it. So I think a reason why I built up a lot of those clients was because I never really exposed them to any publications. At that point, you know, he referred me, you know, Calvin Klein, Scarlett Johansson. And then things just started snowballing from there. You know, even to this day, I'm still working with Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, you know, Emily Blunt, Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, I work with probably, you know, I'd say I've worked with probably over 50 big names in Hollywood. But right now, I'm probably currently working with about 20 of them just because I've really shrunk my client roster. And I pretty much only focus on projects right now.
That's a pretty important, it's a pretty big transition. Now, how did you get your start and finish? Did you play golf or were you a baseball player in college?
Well, kind of both. So I played Division I baseball. I was a 2-year captain over at Baker Park University. Obviously, aspirations to go on to play professionally didn't work out that way. But I remember through college, my focus, as heavy it was into baseball, it was just about becoming even with training to the point where when I graduated college, I remember saying to myself, well, baseball didn't work out. I had a couple tryouts with some bigger teams, you know, Mariners, Mets. Didn't work out. And I remember saying to myself, what can I do that's going to involve fitness? And at that time, I didn't even think of becoming a trainer. Just never really popped into my head. I remember having a conversation with my mom and her just saying, you know, go after what you love. Don't worry about the money. And I did that. And the next thing you know, I went off to the city, kind of got a job at a big box gym, stayed there for about a year, broke off, and then started my own little practice where I was training 40 to 50 one-hour sessions a week, you know, making some good coin. You know, I was 21, 22 years old, rented an apartment in the city, was controlling my own schedule, but I really got the taste of being an entrepreneur and kind of controlling my own schedule, my own life. And this is before social media or any of these other things that have like completely catapulted my career. So, you know, it was funny to kind of be in that era of not having it to now where, you know, I'm so reliant upon it.
Well, isn't that funny, Don? Because it seems like social media is almost the perfect, you know, the perfect medium for fitness professionals like us. And when did you make that transition? What year was it that you kind of made that transition from working with average clientele and having your place to being a little bit more exclusive with who you train?
No, it's funny. It's almost like a two-sided question because right when I got Hugh, that was the point where I started getting a lot more notoriety and recognition. It also helped that I owned my own club that I could host people at. So I think it was impressive for people to walk into New York City, see the client roster that I have, and realize I knew a lot about business and realize that I had a 15,000 square foot facility in New York City. And that in itself was impressive. So I think it was the combination of things that kind of made my client book very exclusive. It allowed me to attract these very, you know, affluential people. But when social media, I mean, I actually remember it was my wife and one of my business partners now, one of my trainers by the name of Tiago Passos, really introduced me to Facebook. I want to say it was probably 6-7 years ago. I mean, maybe give or take. But I remember at the time saying to myself what you hear a lot of trainers say, oh, you know, I don't have time for social media or my life is private. And man, was I wrong at that point. I mean, it was something where I got involved. It's so true. I mean, I got involved in it. Started dabbling in Facebook. I really would say I dove into Instagram probably the last couple of years. I remember, I think last May, I was at about 30,000 followers. And I think that took me probably 3 to 5 years. I got to go back and look at the numbers, but 3 to 5 years to build to. And it was a lot of work. But then at that point, I really was working with Playbook, and I really consider myself very knowledgeable on social media now. I was able to get my following from 30,000. I'm about to crack 130,000 between the months of May and now. So just understanding and meeting with Instagram, understanding their algorithm a little bit, understanding how to engage with people, the frequency of posting, how to use stories, understanding what dwell time is. I mean, these are all these terminologies that I never really understood, but now it's a great platform for me to be able to take a lot of the content that I've delivered to clients like Blake or Billy Crudup or Liev Schreiber, guys that I'm working with, who's Ray Donovan, taking those same programs now and being able to offer it to someone who lives in the Midwest for a $9.99 subscription a month, I think it's pretty awesome. And giving them customer service on that and nutrition advice, it's constant support. So we're just finding out ways to make things better and better on scale. And if it wasn't for social media, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, and I think that's an important thing. And that's been it's kind of funny, Don, because we got introduced by a mutual connection, and right. I've actually been reaching out to some of the social media people just to give you guys a voice to see what you're doing. Because what's interesting is, I've been doing fitness education for a decade and a half, for about 15 years, working with certifications and stuff. And, you stay on the geeky side of it like me, and you don't get nearly as much, you don't have really as much reach or as much influence as somebody like you who's learned how to use social media. So when you do that, how are you really trying to engage people? Are you doing it because you want to help people understand how to work smarter or exercise smarter?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, let's face it. We didn't decide to become trainers to become multimillionaires. I mean, out of the gate when we've been in the industry a while, when I remember my first year working at a big box gym, I was probably making 25, 30 grand a year. So my heart's always been in the right place. I think it always started with me loving the fitness environment, but me also loving to help people. But, it's a very good question that you asked, because for the first, I've been in the industry now probably 18, 19 years. For the first, 15 years, I'm always, you're always trying to be the smartest guy in the room, and not obnoxiously, of course, but like you're always trying to educate yourself more and learn more. And just the thought of just being able to continue to learn more and better yourself is fantastic. But if you want to be able to scale it and you want to be able to make a living off of this, you also need to understand that by just becoming a trainer, when you're sick, when you want to go on vacation, you're not making a living. It's a very tough business to be able to turn around and to be able to make money while you're not, while you're not at work. I mean, I remember there's so many years where I was making a very good living for a coach and I'd go on vacation. It's like, wow, you're losing money on the vacation, but you're also losing money by not working. And you're coming back and you're like, oh my God, that whole week just cost me, 20,000+. Like, it's an expensive week because I lost out on money also, besides spending money when I was away on flights, hotels, et cetera. So, it comes to a point where if you're someone that's just in it because you want to educate yourself and become a better coach and that's what makes you happy, then that's fantastic. But a big part of who I am is having that entrepreneurial side and saying to myself, wait a second, I could continue to learn more, but I can also spread that love and knowledge to so many different people globally now. I have people in Antarctica reaching out to me, in different countries on different continents. And I'm able to influence them now and give them content and answer questions and actually be a little bit of a voice for them to listen to. And for guys like us, it doesn't seem like a big deal because we're so entrenched in this industry where we know what to do. If, and I'm sure you've got fitness professionals that you or people in the industry that have mentored you or people that you like to ask questions. But a lot of people out there in mainstream life just don't know who to go to. They don't understand, what exercises do I do? Or I squat, but my back hurts. And then you see the bar in their back and they can't go down a quarter of the way. And you're well, let's get the bar off your back. Let's regress off of that. Let's check your toe touch. Let's check your hinge. It's like they don't know things that might come so simply to you and I. So to be able to be a voice for them to actually ask questions now, we're actually able to deliver a lot better content. Where in the past it was, let me buy a Tybo video and follow Billy Blanks and let me use that as my fitness source. We actually have the ability to be able to educate more. And that's something that I wish a lot of fitness professionals who are really serious about their craft would consider doing because there's so many people on this planet and we need more people to be able to be a positive voice.
Well, that's a great way to look at it because, that's one thing I've always considered is I don't really look at competing with other trainers or other instructors because, we all can offer something to somebody. And to stay on this for a second, Don, what do you think are the most common mistakes made by the average fitness consumer? I mean, you will obviously work with a very high-profile clientele, but I'm sure they make just the same mistakes as the average, father of two who's trying to get a workout at the local big box gym. In your experience, what are like some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they try to be their own workout coach or try to do their own workouts?
I think it's how they're all trying to relate success. And we're seeing it now with a lot of the big box gyms in New York City. I mean, everyone, you've got club promoters now that are incredible you know, marketing geniuses who have turned around and they've started these, you know, monster restaurants or nightclubs, and they know how to bring people in, and they're taking that same approach to fitness. So now you have new concepts that are popping up where the owners of these facilities, they know nothing about fitness. They just know how to kind of go after that emotional grabber for that male or female. They know that the person coming into the class only wants to break a sweat. And I think, you know, there's something about sweating. We all love it. And trust me, there's things I like to go out sometimes, or this afternoon, it's a recovery day, and I'll get on and do some low intensity cardio and just kind of recover and sweat. And there's something special about that. But I think the average consumer, the biggest mistake that they make is they're always kind of relating success to how hard they work. And they're always assuming that you need that Rocky type mentality for every single workout to be able to have success. And you know as well as I do, it's a ridiculous approach. And there's a difference between training and working out. And you know, I train. The clients, they train. That's purposeful. Yeah, there are days that we go out and it's time to go for a nice little jog or do, but you know, 9 out of 10 times, there is a reason why we're doing something. Now, the big mistake that a lot of fitness professionals make is they go in one direction. They try to become scientists, and they're not actually making anything relatable to the client, and it's not fun for the client. But all in all, we really have to do a better job at educating, you know, the everyday person on, listen, yes, have fun doing what you're doing, but understand that not every exercise is for everyone, and not every day in the gym should be to where you're leaving there crawling out of there. I'm like, that's the biggest mistake that I think most people are making.
Well, and I love what you said, Don, and I want to come back to something in just a second, because one of the themes, the constant theme of my podcast is recovery, is that we can't always slam our face into the wall when we train. We have to have recovery. So today's a recovery day for you. What's your go-to, like, recovery strategy? Do you have, like, one that you favor over others, or you kind of alternate between a couple different ones?
Yeah, you know, I alternate between a couple different ones. I mean, first off, you know, I'll always assess on my recovery day how my body's feeling. So if I still feel like breaking a little bit of a sweat, or if I want to move around, I call it practice. You know, I'll go into my turf area, I'll foam roll, I'll do some dynamic warm-up, and I might move around. I might hang from a bar for a period of time. I might work on some handstand work, you know, some thoracic bridges, some crawling, you know, specific things. Just body feeling nice. And then, you know, might be a 30-minute, you know, 120 to 150 beats a minute heart rate to get all that waste out of my body. That to me is like, that's a way of me just kind of keeping the metabolism going, but also making sure that my movement's primed so I can come back the next day and, you know, hit it. And a lot of times, if I'm feeling great on that Wednesday, you can come in, you can overreach, and then you might be affecting the rest of your week. So you got to be mature about that. But recovery modalities, I own a cryotherapy chamber at my club. So, you know, I use some cryo. I bought an infrared sauna a few years ago. I use the infrared sauna 2 to 3 days a week. I've got this this new unit that I'm actually starting to play around with right now. It's called Beamer. It's a microcirculation unit where they're using it with a lot of the astronauts. They just did a deal with NASA where they're starting to put this Beamer unit in spacesuits, which what happens is that, you know, you've got like billions of cells in the body. And if you were to spread it out over 2 football fields, you would actually be able to cover 2 football fields. So what this does is it goes in and it actually helps remove waste from the cells, helps, you know, get good circulation, repair and recovery.
Are they sound waves or what's?
Yeah, it's almost a sound wave. I'm still getting myself really educated on it. I'm supposed to have a call with a doctor next week, so not to be so technical on it, but check it out. It's Beamer, Beemer. And I've got a call set up with someone next week, but I got a unit over here and I started using it. And it's wild. You start, man, I'm noticing a little something in my sleep. I'm noticing, you know, the soreness is cutting down and I'm a skeptic with, but it's fun because it's the reason why I'm mentioning it is it's an example of we get thrown with specific things that might help with recovery. I'm jumping right on it. You know, but I need to use it for a period of time. I'm giving myself 3 months and I'll be able to assess my strength. I'll be able to set my endurance, my sleep, how I'm feeling. But for me to hop on it for a week and to say that this system's great, well, I don't know if it was from the system or if it was the fact that I had a vacation 2 weeks ago and then I took a week off of training. So I think we really got to be patient and you know, we have to sit there and, you know, we got to experiment, but we also have to realize that it takes time to really see if something's working.
Well, I just want to, for listeners, I just want to touch a moment on cryotherapy and the infrared sauna, because what the research is starting to show, and this is going to geek out in just a second, what the research is starting to show is that can affect the mitochondria, and both those are actually helpful for reducing some of the effects of the biological aging process. And is that something that you really consider when you look at various training programs that you start to incorporate into your facility? Do you look at kind of the effect that it has on how it might slow down aging?
Yeah, I mean, are you just talking about just general programs like specific fitness programs that we're putting people on, if it's going to help out with general aging? I mean, yeah, science does show that it's going to help, you know, could potentially help reduce the aging process. But again, how much of it? I mean, working out is a stress. Training is a stress. And I think there's this fine line of like people think, oh, well, I exercise and, oh, well, that's good for me. And, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, exercise is good for you. But I also have a friend of mine, happens to be a woman. And she runs in all those Tough Mudder professional races. And she was running around with a broken pelvis because she's training like eight hours a day. And she's, you know, she overdoes it because that's what her sport requires her to do. So does that mean that that's good for her? Like, that's another thing. Sport is not always, as you know, why am I telling you, but sport is not always good for the individual, you know, but we always affiliate, well, working out is good for, yes, you ran 15 miles yesterday. I'm not saying 15 miles is good for you. Like, there is a line that we have to realize that when you cross it, it does work against you.
And I just want to, you know, for listeners, I mean, Don, you and I had one brief conversation a couple of weeks ago, but you're saying a lot of parallel things that I have, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show. It just reinforces this from a different perspective. Now, talk for a minute, because you say that you use performance training, but yet you're not working with a specific athletic clientele. Your performance is you're trying to get your clients red carpet ready, or ready for a specific show they might do. But what is performance training, and how does that differ from what we normally might consider exercise, what we normally might see in the gym?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I mean, first off, we do happen to work with a lot of athletes. But mainly the athletes that come in will start working with Charlie Weingroff. So he's a medical. So I'm not at liberty to mention their names, but you know what? It's very similar. Performance training for them.
Just a second, Don. Can I pause for 1 second?
Sure.
So you work with Charlie. Charlie works out of your facility.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie works 2 to 3 days a week. So.
Okay. And just for listeners, I don't know Charlie personally, but I know of his reputation as being one of the best physical therapists in the country. So that's
probably the best. Yeah, probably the best.
I just want to point that out.
No, not at all. It's fine. Charlie and I have been working together for 6 years. He was with the U.S. Marine Corps. He was with the Philadelphia Sixers. And he's a perfect example of how we like to integrate this kind of all-in-one approach. So what typically happens is when someone comes into us and they have some sort of an injury, we always refer out to Charlie. The strength coach sits with Charlie. We go through as a team. And then, you know, we can speak with the nutritionist, and we can now just add this entire holistic approach to that individual's life. But when we say performance training, I mean, this is a word I think has been thrown around a lot. I mean, the reality is that we have a specific screening, and based off of the screening, there are inefficiencies in the human body that we want to try and, you know, work on. And so every workout now, we have almost an intention. So if we're going in and we're using an SFMA or an FMS, or which are just basic movement screens, based off of that screen, we can now determine what that client needs to help them perform better in sport or in life in general. And it gets interesting because, you know, there's some, you know, you look at a professional golfer, which I worked with a ton of golfers, but one of my PGA Tour guys, you're noticing a lot of asymmetries in the body. And Charlie will agree that just because there's an asymmetry doesn't mean that we want to fix it. So just because we see an asymmetry doesn't always mean we want to get that right side working the same way as the left side, because that was part of his golf swing, that individual. You follow me? And that's part of what may have made that person great. So when I say performance training, all I'm really saying is that there is, at some point in the program, purpose to maybe why we're doing our warm-up, or, you know, why we're doing some specific type of corrective exercise, or why we're doing a split squat instead of a front squat. There might have been something that we saw going on in the hip, or maybe in the shoulder, to where we didn't want to load the weight in a specific area. So, yeah, I mean, performance training is that simple. It's just the way performance equals purposeful in a nutshell. And I just created that.
No, that's great. But isn't it funny how that, how sometimes those things pop into mind. Now, what's, you know, one talks about the role of the trainer for a second. In your opinion and from your experience, what do you think is more important? What do you think the role that a trainer plays, which do you think is more important? Is it providing motivation for a client, or is it providing a specific, like you just said, a purposeful exercise program? Because I think a lot of people have the motivation, they just don't know what to do. So in your opinion, what role does a trainer play? Is it kind of giving people a program that works for what their needs are, or is it to kind of put that little foot in the behind and give them that motivation?
It's funny. I got guys that come in that just can't do anything wrong. And they'd FMS them and they'd score a 20 or 21 and their bodies move beautifully. And any exercise you give them moves beautifully. They're not someone that needs a lot of instruction. I mean, maybe from a programming standpoint, they just get it done. I think what I'm trying to say is it really depends on the individual. Some people just need motivation, but the problem with just motivation is if the programming isn't smart and something's wrong, this is a lot of the problem that we see in group fitness. You know, like when you look at CrossFit, for instance, which I'm sure you've talked about a million times. Am I against CrossFit? I mean, that's like asking me, Don, do you like trainers? Do I like personal trainers? I mean, it's that, like someone, I get asked weekly, do you like CrossFit? I'm like, you know, it's kind of a loaded question. It's like asking me, do you like restaurants? Well, I've been to some great restaurants. I've been to some awful restaurants. There are some phenomenal trainers out there, and you'll walk into some clubs and you wouldn't trust anyone with that person. So I think the reality is when you look at a CrossFit, there's some good movements being done, but a big population of the people going through those movements have not earned the right to perform those movements. So there you're getting some good motivation, right? Because people are going there for the sense of community. But the reality is that there's not a lot of instruction and there's not a lot of, well, let's progress or regress based on the person coming in at that moment.
I like what you said with that, because you're right. I mean, there is no, for listeners, there is no bad exercise modality. There is, you know, I can look at any exercise modality out there and there are benefits to it. It's just, you know, sometimes you go into a restaurant, you're going to have a great chef, or you're going to have a horrible chef. You know, yeah. It doesn't mean that Mexican food is bad, but you can have somebody who's really bad at making Mexican food. You know, and so I think that's a very good analogy. Now, you know, we're getting ready to wrap this up, and I want to be respectful of your time.
No, it's great.
One of the things that I want to ask you about celebrity, you know, because what's so funny to me, and it's not necessarily funny, but people have these things about, you know, working with celebrities. But I want to go with this to goal setting. When you work with a celebrity, what's the one thing that's really hanging in front of them that might be different than the average person? Because I'm a 40-something-year-old guy working in an office, per se, you know, versus somebody who, like Hugh Jackman, getting ready for a role. How important is it when you work with a celebrity to sit down and look at what they need to train for? Because isn't that goal, doesn't that really drive the training program that you do with them?
Absolutely. The thing I love, and I never like being referred to as a celebrity coach. I've gotten to the point where I've kind of almost let it go. Like, people are going to call me regardless. But when you have Hugh come in, or let me use Ryan Reynolds, for instance. I've been working with Ryan Reynolds for almost 8 years. I just got him ready for Deadpool 2, which is going to be coming out, I think, in May. And so we have a goal in mind. Like, when we start training, there is blocks that I set up with him, and there is a progression or a regression, and he's got to travel. So every day we're really paying attention to his body, and he's so dialed into it because he's training for a purpose. And that's what's fun, and that's what's interesting about working with those people, is when they have to dive in. They're so serious about their craft when it comes down to acting. When they have to get ready for a role that involves them to be, you know, bigger or smaller or muscular or fat or heavier, whatever it is, they take that craft and that art of acting and they almost move it over to training as if they were a professional athlete their whole life. And they dive into it as intensely as any professional athlete that I've ever worked with. So for me, that's what's fun about it. And that's kind of, I think, the reason why I went that route was, Dave Harbour, for instance. I just got him ready for Hellboy, and he had 9 weeks. He came off the show Stranger Things, when he's playing, you know, Chief Hopper, the police officer, and he's this like heavier set, donut eating, cigarette smoking police officer. And the next thing you know, I had to get him ready to star Hellboy in 9 weeks. So to me, that was fun because it was just making a complete lifestyle change and ripping the cigarette out of his mouth and just seeing this guy do it. Really, it was. We actually, if you go on my social media, you'll laugh. There's a picture I put up of him and he had a cigarette in his mouth in the gym. And I write something to the effect of like, something stupid. It was like, I said, post-workout shake, not post-cigarette, you know, post-workout cigarette. And we just kind of ripped the cigarette out of his mouth, but we got him to stop smoking. So that to me is fun when you can make a impactful change on someone. And then you can see it on the big screen. It's very rewarding.
Well, and I think, you know, and one of the reasons why I asked that and what I do like about speaking with people that work with high profile clientele, you know, Don, is that you have a finite goal. When you take on a Ryan or you take on a Hugh or whomever, they have a goal. Their job, and this is what I want listeners to realize, is celebrity fitness. If somebody is doing a movie, and I love the way you described getting ready for the craft, their job is to play a role. So right. Everything you focus on, because besides you, how many other people are, you know, for somebody, you know, that's getting ready for the role, how many other people are involved? Because aren't there nutritionists or RDs or have a team? How much of a team effort is it to get somebody ready for a picture?
I like involving the entire team, but it really depends on who it's for. I mean, someone like Ryan, I mean, the guy's a physical therapist because he does a lot of his own stunts and we got to get some tissue work done on him here and there. He knows his nutrition as well as any coach that I know. He knows his body as well as anyone that I know. I mean, he's easy to work with. I mean, I just get him in for some maintenance, you know, routine with, you know, Charlie or someone to do some scraping or whatever, just to make his body feel good. But that's easy. Now I got other people who come in that do not understand the difference between, you know, eating, you know, grilled chicken or fried chicken. And, you know, it also comes down to what are they trying to do with their body? Harbor came to me 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds. And we changed the way his body looks in 9 weeks without really losing a pound. That's hard to do. But his goal was not to lose weight because he had a prosthetic studio he had to put on. But day one, he could hardly deadlift a 24 kilo kettlebell. And then before he left, we were doing like, you know, I think we were doing like doubles at probably 90% for I think about 400 pounds. So to show him the strength improvement before he went into that role was so important because he had to have that mentality of like, F you, man, like I'm wearing this suit, but I'm as strong as I look type of thing. But he wasn't someone that we, you know, that's an unusual role because when do you ever hear someone saying, oh, I can't lose weight? You know, and I've got the production company on the phone with me saying, oh, wait a second, he's losing weight. I'm like, no, he's not losing weight. Well, how much did he weigh before he left? I'm like, 250 pounds. He's 249 pounds now. He lost a pound. Big deal. They're like, don't change his body anymore. He won't fit in the suit. I said, okay. So we're having, but this is funny stuff. No one ever thinks of it. Everyone always thinks about getting ready for roles, trying to look like Brad Pitt or Ryan Reynolds. You know, Brad Pitt and Fight Club. It's just not always that way.
Well, and so if somebody wants to kind of, you know, take a look at that, what's, you know, if somebody wants to train like a celebrity, how important is it for somebody to set a really finite goal for themselves and then adhere to that goal?
I think at the end of the day, everyone's got to start with asking themselves, what do you want? You know, as a human being, what do you want? I mean, I typically try and take a minimalistic approach with everyone. I mean, I've had guys come to me where we've, you know, removed, you know, one or two nights of drinking and like one dessert night and they've hit their goal of having abs. Now their diet's not even close to perfect, but we were able to get them to their goal with a minimalistic approach. So I think that's, you know, step one is really identifying what is it that that person wants and then implementing a small amount of change for a couple of weeks and then really being consistent with it, but then really assessing after 2 or 3 weeks what direction their body's going in. Right. Everyone's like, well, how many calories should I have? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to see what are you consuming right now? Let's see. Let's take a look at. So I might track their calories for a few days. I'll see where their body's at. Based off of that guesstimate, I may make an adjustment to their diet, try and have them remove a few things, give it a few weeks, see how their body adjusts. That's for someone not getting ready for like a specific date. But then when I have Sebastian Stan coming to me and he's like, you know, we've got 2 months to get ready for this role. I got to put on some weight. I'm like, all right, things are changing. This is what I need you to do. Let's just dive into it. And we're trying to make quick adjustments because we don't have the time. But for anyone out there who's listening to this and they want to make some change to their body, my recommendation is do it slow. You know, because you may not have to eliminate that piece of cheesecake that you're having twice a week. You might be fine just keeping that in there. We just might need to kind of adjust some different elements in their life.
And I think that's really important because I think a lot of people try to change too much at one time.
And they're discouraged.
yeah, they become frustrated. So if people want to get more information, you talked a little bit about having some online resources available, Don. If people want to find out, like, and follow some of your methodology and apply it, and I just have to say, I mean, this is the first really in-depth conversation, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And I'm going to start following a little bit closer. But how can people find out a little bit more about your system and your methods?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. You know what? I would just say the first thing to do is to go to my Instagram page. So it's Don Saladino on Instagram. Follow that. You know, I give daily workout tips. I give nutrition stuff. The whole purpose of my page is to just really educate in a very easy, user-friendly manner. And I try and respond to everyone that kind of comes on. The next thing I would do is I'd look at my Playbook app. So there's an app called Playbook, and I give, for guys, I give a new program every month. For women, I give a new program every month, and I give up to about 6 new bonus workouts a month for people to use: cardio workouts, mobility, ab workouts. You know, people are asking for that, glute workouts. So specific things that they might request on the Playbook, I build for them in a very smart, safe manner. And that in itself is just a great way for me to engage back and forth with them. So keeping it simple, I would just say go to my Instagram and go to my Playbook app.
All right. Hey, man, Don, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate the message you got out there. And I just want to say thanks for coming on All About Fitness. And if you don't mind, at some point I'm going to reach out to you again and try to do another follow-up when I see you got another somebody coming out with another big role.
Because I love it.
What I really think is important to hear is just the fact you take a very straightforward approach. You take a very holistic approach, and you just, it's all about what the individual needs. I think that's an important message.
I really appreciate it. It's such an honor to be on your podcast and hearing such great things about what you've been have going on. And if you're ever in the New York City area, come in. Let's get a training session in together.
Oh, definitely, man. I'll take you up on that.
Okay. Now, I'm over the age of 40. So I'm a little hesitant about using this term because, to me, it's just not age appropriate. That conversation was, I think, the start of a bromance, and I really cringe at using that term. But I mean, I say that with a little bit of jest. You know, it's fun to talk with somebody like Don and to see his body. I mean, we see his body of work, right? We see what the type of work that he does. You can see the results, whether it's a Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds or Blake Lively. You know, that's the interesting thing about these celebrity trainers is that one of the reasons why I think they get some notoriety is we see the results of what their clients do or what the type of work they do with their clients. And that's one reason why I like having them on. You know, I want to talk to some of these trainers because I want you, the public, to understand that when you see somebody like Ryan Reynolds in a film like Deadpool, he's worked really tremendously hard for that body. You know, he doesn't just show up on set and go, all right, yeah, let's film this. What you going to do? He's worked with somebody like Don who has helped him get in shape, be ready to play that role. You know, and it helps to have a specific fitness goal. Now, if you told me that you're going to pay me, heck, if you told me you're going to pay me 10 grand to do something, you better believe I'd cut weight. But if you told me you're going to pay me, you know, 7 figures to be a role, or you have to look a certain way to be, you know, to be in a role, well, I'm going to pay close attention to what I do. I'm going to pay very close attention to how I train my body. So one thing that I like taking away from the conversations that I've had with celebrity trainers like Don and PJ Stahl and Kira Stokes is how they approach these celebrities and how they help them work on all aspects of their life, not just the fitness, but there are other components as well. You know, and I think PJ had a great recommendation: create your own team. You know, if you're trying to have a certain goal and nutrition is an issue, you know, look for somebody that can help you with that. You know, look for other people that can help you on the way to your goals. You know, and it's fun to talk with somebody like Don, who's doing things the right way. He's putting the needs of his clients first. He's paying attention to what they want to do. He's paying attention to what they need. And that's a very important thing, that if you're ever going to go work with a personal trainer, you know, whether that personal trainer is at an elite studio like Drive 495 or at the local gym, big box gym down the street, that personal trainer should be interested in you and what you want to do. You know, it's okay for the personal trainer to tell you a little about his or her education and background, and so they can qualify as to why they have the skill and the ability to work with you and to help you with your body. But the rest of the conversation should be about you and your needs. What do you need to do? What do you want to do? What's your exercise background? What's your injury history, if there is any? You know, I can guarantee you that when Don works with a new client, whether it's an executive, a housewife, or somebody preparing for a movie role, he has a very, very strategic and a very systematic process. We talk a little bit about the functional movement screen. That's understanding how the body moves. I can't give you exercises unless I see first how your body moves, because I don't know what you need. I can't just have you, grab a kettlebell or a medicine ball and start doing things. That's not going to help you. You know, when I start working with a client, I usually tell them it takes me somewhere between 4 to 7 sessions for me to really understand how your body moves and what I can do for you, how I can help you your body move more effectively. So one thing, if you're looking for good fitness ideas, by all means, follow Don on Instagram. You know, since that conversation, I've been following on Instagram, and he puts out good content. He really does. He's very thoughtful about it. He's very insightful about what he's trying to do. He's looking for ways, as he mentioned, ways to engage you. He wants to motivate you. He wants to help everybody. That's one of the cool things in speaking with him and other people. And what's interesting is, if Don weren't doing fitness, he'd be a success at whatever he's doing. He has that type of drive, that type of personality. And when you talk to somebody like that, you can't help but come away going, man, that guy is full of energy and very impressive. So it's a pleasure to have that conversation. And I'm more than happy to help him try to promote what he's doing, because he's doing great stuff. When it comes down to fitness, whether you want to lose 5 pounds, whether you want to gain 30 pounds of muscle, whatever you want to do, when I speak with somebody like this and when I speak with other trainers, I think the main thing to walk away from is have realistic expectations about what you can get from the time you can commit to your program. If you're a movie star and that's your job and you have weeks or months to get ready for a role, then you can set some pretty stringent expectations. But if you're a working parent, if you, take care of a family, if you're, mother or father with, a couple kids at home, and you go to a job, and, whether or not you have help with the kids, and, you have to have realistic expectations about what you can get from your fitness program. If 30 minutes a day at lunchtime is all you have, you can do great things with that, but you have to look at other things that you can do throughout the day to make a difference. Don't set yourself up for failure by trying to, reach outside of what you have time for. Set realistic expectations. Think about what you can do. Just sometimes the minimum goal is, can you work out 2 or 3 times a week? Start there. Work with a process goal. Can you make time for activity every day? 15, 20, 30, 35 minutes. Start small. Make it a regular habit. Set the expectations. Yes, we can look to celebrities like Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds or Blake Lively. We can look at these celebrities and we can aspire to achieve that same sort of appearance. But we also have to look at what we have available to us in our lives and the time we have available for fitness. Start with the realistic expectations and work within those. The cool thing about exercise is you can achieve almost anything you want to achieve. You just need to set out the goals and start with what you want to work on. If you work hard, you can do it. Look for resources. Look for help. Look for an app like Playbook. Follow people like Don. Follow myself on Instagram. We're trying to put given information out there because we want to help people. I don't know what that gene is that we have. From talking to Don, he could probably be making a ton of money working as an investment banker on Wall Street. But he's not. He's trying to help people change their lives through exercise. So it's always an honor to make a connection with somebody like that. It's always a lot of fun when you speak with somebody who's like-minded, and he's doing the right thing. The great thing is he's taking the right approach to exercise. He's had some of the right people on his team. He's connected with some of the best in the business. I don't know if you heard my podcast from Ursa. I spoke with Aaron McGurr, one of the lead managers of Perform Better. Well, Don works very closely with Perform Better. They're one of the top equipment suppliers out there in the fitness industry. And actually, I'll put their webpage down in the show notes. Because if you're looking for any fitness products, Perform Better sells to the top fitness clubs. They sell to professional teams. They sell to the NCAA. I'm not getting an ad from them at all. I just believe in their product. I'm friends with the people that run the business. And Don's one of their speakers on their education circuit. And they're just doing good stuff. And that's what I'm trying to do here with All About Fitness. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, any ideas for guests, if you're a PR person, you want to try to get your guest on the show, by all means, please reach out to me, Pete at PeteMcCallFitness.com. That's Pete at PeteMcCallFitness.com. My Instagram is PeteMcCall_fitness. That's PeteMcCall_fitness on Instagram. And my Twitter is PeteMC_fitness. That's PeteMC_fitness. I do a lot of blogging for both the American Council on Exercise and 24 Hour Fitness. So if you're on Twitter, I tweet out my blog posts and you can follow along with them. Otherwise, thank you for stopping by All About Fitness, and I look forward to having you join me for future episodes.